Well, hopefully on your way in, you were given an outline by Mr. Jack. If you don't have one, then raise your hand. We can get you one. But it's good to be back, like I said. I trust you all enjoyed, learned something from Pastor Scott last week. I know I did when I watched the service, as I mentioned, online from Michigan. Pastor Scott shared a message from God concerning the role of men within the home, you might remember. Well, Pastor Scott, he's a great man of God. He's a terrific husband, and he's a good father. So no one better to give that message than Pastor Scott. And for me, he's a great friend and a great encourager. His message showed us what role model Christian character looks like. Behaviors that we can't help but extend beyond the home, where others can see guys working hard to be biblical men, biblical husbands, biblical fathers that God calls them to be. Now, if you've been here or watching online these last few weeks, then you know prior to that, we've been looking at the question of who am I, as answered by God. First, we talked about our identity. Our identity is something that God gives us. He created us in his image, we learned. Colossians 1:16 says clearly that all things have been created through him and for him. We were created out of God's abundant love, and we're the only being capable of loving him back, capable of having a relationship with him. This led us to that next week, focusing on one of the reasons we were made. We were made for worship. Scripture teaches we were made to have not only a love relationship with God, our response is to worship him as a way of life that puts him at the center of everything. Well, if you missed any of these lessons in the last few weeks, then go to our website and you can catch up on the current series at westbridgecc.org anytime. Watch those, listen to those. They're all free of charge. Matter of fact, that website has years of teachings by teachers at Westbridge that are available so that we can use those to grow in Christ and share truths and principles with others along the way. Well, this week, we're going to continue to build our biblical understanding for who am I by looking at another reason why you and I were made, another purpose for our existence, according to the Bible. One of the reasons human beings were created, one of our purposes for being, is that we were made for fellowship with other believers. We were made for fellowship with other believers. Created in God's image, we are relational beings. Each one of us longs for belonging. We long to be a part of a community. We long for meaningful and purposeful relationships with other people. We were not created to live in solitude. Everybody wants to belong. When I was in sixth grade, my father decided that it was best for our family to move from Michigan to Missouri. Of course, that meant I would attend a new school. And starting at that new school, I would have no friends. I would have no community at all. And I remember one day standing in line. I don't remember if it was the line for lunch or if it was the line to go back into school after recess, but I was standing in line among a bunch of my classmates. And I don't know how the discussion started, but the other guys in the group were bragging about how strong they were, most likely to impress some girls. I mean, that's what we did when we were that age, right? So I really wanted to fit in, and I was pretty strong. So I jumped right into the conversation, and I started talking about how strong I was. I started talking about my strength. Well, the discussion continued, and then this other boy named Dallas, he proposed a test to see just how strong we were. And the test was, could you take a punch in the stomach? Yep, you guessed it. We each got a chance to hit one another in the stomach, and we each had to see if we could take a hit from the other guys in the group. I did really good. That is, until I had to take a punch from Dallas. That dude was strong. He was left-handed, Mr. Joe. Those lefties, I'm telling you. I remember trying to keep my composure and hide the fact that he probably just cracked a rib. Try to catch my breath. Try to show no signs at all of weakness. It was not one of the brightest decisions I've ever made in my life. In fact, until this very moment, I've never told anyone about that story. Not my mother, not my father, not my sisters, not any friends. Not that I was embarrassed, I guess it never came up. It was something I thought could help me become accepted. It could help me be a part of the group, to fit in, to establish friendships. Of course, this is one of those things we label, don't try this at home, right? This is not really the way you're supposed to join a community or establish a sense of belonging. As we've already learned, the book of Genesis is a book about beginnings. It's a book of origins. It's a book, and in this book, we find early evidence of tonight's reason for being. It says this in Genesis 2:18. God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Of course, this passage tells us about God's design for a man and a woman to be in an intimate fellowship relationship with one another, to create families together and to live together bearing God's image in that way. But it's an indication of the fellowship, because we need not only look too far into Scripture, we find many other places. We find other evidence. We find additional evidence behind fellowship in Scripture in Leviticus. The testimony of the Bible is all throughout, but in Leviticus 26:12, God himself chooses the people of Israel to be his people. He spoke these words, "I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people." The nation of Israel, the Israelites, they lived and worshiped God together in fellowship, Scripture tells us, with one another. Their life was lived in the community along with others in God's people. After Jesus ascended back into heaven, God instituted the first church, the body of Christ, as a community of believers. Paul explains this to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 12:27. He says this, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." We were made to live in loving dependency on God, and we were made to be created interdependent with other people. In the book of Romans, Paul tells his readers, believers are better together. He says this in Romans 12:4-5. "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Scripture teaches not only we are made for fellowship with other believers, quite frankly, we need Christian fellowship. We need it. I need it. Now, I'm hopeful in believing each one of us here is already a part of a community comprised of different groups and different people, because every one of us wants to fit in somewhere. We want to feel like we belong. It's how we were created. Organizations and activities like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and choir and clubs at school and things like band and film and drama, and or joining a softball team or a bowling league, being a part of a book club. Even our jobs, there were a part of a community, a team of colleagues who were trying to get work done for the company and earn money for their families. Our classmates, they're also a part of a school community. They're all great examples where people come together around a common interest, a place where they can grow and contribute. However, in my experience, many times, these types of groups are more casual in nature. These groups tend to promote individualism. Individual accomplishments is kind of more the focus in many of these. At work, there's a strong focus on personal performance, personal achievement, personal recognition. In sports, it's about results. I need a higher batting average, more runs batted in, more runs scored. These relationships can be a bit more superficial and surface-oriented. Not always, but they can be. It's also a place where sometimes people put up masks or walls to prevent relationships from becoming more personal. Having said that, quite frankly, without these communities, we wouldn't have the friends that we have, because it should not be devalued or underestimated. These places often lead to finding the closest of friends, where relationships go far beyond work, far beyond school, far beyond some club. Deep, personal friendships. That's what we long for. A place to be accepted, a place to be valued. And those groups are often the places we find those. God knows this. He knows why we were created, and he had something bigger in mind, we see here in Scripture. Scripture teaches those who God has called into a loving relationship with him, those who have believed in his Son, Jesus Christ, they've become a part of something bigger than themselves automatically. They're a part of something deeper, more meaningful, something incredibly special. They're adopted into God's family. His church is comprised of his people. And this community, the Bible teaches, should come together in fellowship, in unity with one another, living life together through the good stuff and the not so good stuff. A community that's invested in one another's lives. A place where people depend on one another, where they rely on each other to become and be their very best. Let's stop here and capture our first fellowship fact for tonight. Church is the fellowship of believers. Church is the fellowship of believers. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, we read where God establishes his church. If you have your Bibles or your Bible app on the phone, open it up and we're going to look at verse 41 through 47. They'll also be on the screen behind me. This passage shows us the model of God's church, that first church. And pay attention to some of the things that God says that church has. What that church should be like. What his church is like. Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In this passage, we're given the model of that first church, including some elements that exemplify a fellowship of believers. So I want to talk a little bit about this passage in more detail, and we can see what's going on. First, Scripture says those who accepted his message. That's the people that were at this church. People who believed in Jesus Christ. People who believed the gospel. God's church is made up of people who believe. You know, church should be a place where the gospel is taught. That's God's church. They not only believed, they obeyed, because they went out and did what Christ asked them to do. They got baptized. So a church is a place where they believe what God says, his word. And they do what God says. They obey. Next, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and prayer. The word fellowship in this passage is derived from the Greek word koinonia. I think we've talked about that here before. Koinonia can be defined as holding something in common. They came together, we come together, through a shared faith in order to worship God, the Bible says. They devoted themselves to going to church. That's what the first church did. That's the model. That's fellowship. In James 5:16, James instructs his readers, in that place is a place where we can confess our sins when it's appropriate. Pray for each other so that you could be healed. Pray. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective, he says. Then we're told all believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. That says to me, these people did life together, according to the Bible. They lived like a family should operate. They looked out for one another. They shared with one another. They leaned on one another. They helped one another. Someone had a little bit more. Someone had a little bit less. They pitched in to make sure everyone had what they needed. We see this principle of fellowship in Romans 12:13. Paul teaches believers this. He says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And then Hebrews 13:16 says, do not forget to do good and to share with others, for which such sacrifices God is pleased. We also find in Galatians 6:2 where Paul instructs us to carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Furthermore, in the passage in Acts, it tells us more about this very important church. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. Another indication of this doing life together. They gathered outside of corporate worship in small groups to foster those relationships, to grow their faith together. And the final piece I'd like to highlight from this passage is they did all this with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. They had fun. Let me tell you, serving God is fun. It's not always perfect. It's not always great. But church is fun. Doing life together with other believers is fun. And if you've been in Westbridge for more than 15 minutes, you've already figured that out. These people know how to have a good time. They know how to cheer me up when I need it. It's not perfect. We're a family. We're going to make mistakes. I know I've had to make some apologies to many of you. That's just how it works. God's family has to be a place of belonging. It has to be a place filled with joy and love for everyone, because that's what God shows us in Acts 2. David wrote this in Psalm 133:1 concerning fellowship. He said, how good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity. Acts 2 depicts the church God formed after Jesus ascended back to heaven and the Holy Spirit took his place. And God's design tells us that a church is to be filled with believers. Believers who obey him and get baptized, who devote themselves to worshiping together. They get together in small groups to continue to learn. They do life together with joy and sincerity. So let's stop here and capture another fact. This leads us about God's design for biblical fellowship that Scripture points out. Church, God's family, well, it's a boot camp for living a godly life. It's a boot camp for living a godly life. Now, you know what a boot camp is, right? A boot camp is a place where you learn various types of skills. Military recruit training, well, they know that that's kind of boot camp. They call it basic training. It refers to the initial instruction of new people who go into the military. It's physically intense. It's psychologically intense, which gets that person ready for the unique demands of military employment. You can go to a fitness boot camp. It's a type of group physical training that can be conducted by a gym or personal trainers or other organizations. And these programs, they build strength and fitness through lots of exercise and potentially how you eat. And then there's coding boot camps. That's more familiar for me, my background. It's intensive places where computer software is developed. Well, church is a boot camp for living a godly life. It's a place where we join together, a body of believers in fellowship, and that joining is of incredible importance and value. Similar to other boot camps, there's an overarching training manual, a guide, and a map. That's the instructional basis for all learning. You don't go to a fitness boot camp and they just wing it. They've figured it out. They wrote it down. They know what works. Same thing with military training. They know what they need you to prepare for. They've got a plan. They've got it written down. People follow that. Well, the Bible is the guide for living a godly life. The Word of God must be the foundation and basis for all teaching throughout God's church. Westbridge has always been and will continue to be a Bible-based, Bible-teaching Christian church. So let's capture this as the first learning of the value and significance of coming together in fellowship. And that's, first, God's Word is the perfect life training manual. I don't want us to miss that, because that's where we need to get our wisdom from. That's what's going to tell us how to run life well. Chances are you and I are not going to receive instruction from God's Word at any of those other groups. I'm not getting it when I worked in my corporation. They weren't, oh, let's see what the Bible says about that shipment of M&Ms that didn't make it. No, they weren't doing that. We're getting God's Word when we fellowship with other believers, which is one reason why attending church is so important. A boot camp is a place where we receive training and instruction to learn various types of skills. It's also a place where training is practiced over and over to build, develop, really hone that skill. It's a place where we can learn from others, where we can succeed and we can fail in a particular area, and it's okay. It's a place where we become equipped. It's a place where we get strengthened to be ready for the challenges ahead. It's a place where we get encouraged to reach higher, to achieve more. It's a place where we can enjoy the learning and personal growth journey. Let's stop and capture another thing about the value and significance of coming together. And we've talked already. The Bible, when we come together, shows us and helps us. When we learn, when we teach, it helps us understand the life God designed and expects. That's why we come together. That's why we open up His Word, because He reveals to us, this is what I've designed for your life. This is what I'm hopeful that you want to achieve for. In the same way, the church should be a boot camp where people not only receive instruction from God's Word, it's a place where you and I can and should, as we already talked about, practice our life skills and develop life skills. Love is incredibly important. Jesus said in Matthew 27:38-39, we're to love God above everything else. This is the first and greatest commandment, Jesus said. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, church is a place where you and I can practice loving one another, wanting the best for them at our own expense. It's a place where we can develop our heart muscles as we journey through ups and downs together. Do you want to be more patient? Do you want to learn forgiveness? Well, church is a pretty good place for developing patience. Pretty good place for learning forgiveness and giving forgiveness. You want to learn how to be a better encourager? Team up with someone who is further along than you in that journey. It's a great place to learn from someone. It's a great place to practice encouraging others. God has given each believer a gift. Church is not the only place we're supposed to use that spiritual gift, because it shows up in many things in our life. But church is the perfect place where we can practice and develop that gift. It's a place where God wants to use it to minister to the others as we gather together. You've heard about these things, right? Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all fruits of the Spirit. Where are you going to practice them? Practice them when you're around other believers. Practice them within the context of fellowship. God-given abilities like helps and service and faith and intercession, teaching, they can also be practiced and developed by God. He uses them to advance His kingdom. I remember when Pastor Drew first approached me about using my gift of teaching at church on Saturday nights. And what I remember at the time is, when I sat and really thought about it, I knew I couldn't fail, because everyone here would want me to be successful, even if it was the worst. You were all on my side. Everyone's so incredibly supportive as I practiced that skill. And I still practice it to this day, trying to develop my teaching ability that God has given me. Church is not only a place to practice and develop skills, it's a place where you and I can learn from others. It's a place where we can give help, and it's a place where we can get help. There's always something you and I can learn from someone else, and that's super important. There is always something you can learn from the person in front of you. There will be things that you and I are not able to do that others can. There'll be others who are quicker to understand. Those who are better handle on certain areas of life than you or I do at a given point in time. We can learn from them. There are opportunities to engage in learning. Equally, there are things that you are better equipped than anyone else in this room to teach, show, demonstrate, and model. We need to learn that from you. We want to learn that from you. That's why we come together as a body of believers, to grow in one another so that each one of us gets more and more and more like Christ. Proverbs 27:17 tells us, iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. That's what happens when we gather together on Saturday nights. That's what happens together when we gather on Wednesdays at Adult Study Group. That's what will happen when we're at that field next Saturday night for Alpha Fall Festival. We will sharpen one another. When we meet together in our homes and do life together, we make each other better. We make each other stronger. We sharpen skills for living a godly life. And finally, church is a place where we can and should encourage one another. Scripture says, also enjoy the life God gives. It's likely for these reasons and many more why the writer of Hebrews said this in Hebrews 10:25. Don't stop meeting together with other believers, which some people have gotten into the habit of doing. Instead, encourage each other, especially as you see the day drawing near. Come as you are and become who God wants you to be. Come as you are and become who God wants you to be. This is a phrase that's been uttered at Westbridge thousands upon thousands of times within this body of believers. So in closing, I want you to consider this question. What would God's church look like if every person were actively pursuing fellowship with other believers? Now, I didn't write that down on your outline. Find some space. Take a moment. Write that question down. What would God's church look like if every person was actively pursuing fellowship with other believers? The Bible teaches us that we were made for fellowship. It teaches us that we need fellowship. God's design for church is to be filled with believers who get baptized, devote themselves to worshiping together, gathering together in small groups, doing life together with joy and sincerity. So let me ask you, is there anything in that Acts 2 definition that's missing? Is there something you can do or need to do? Is there an area you need to focus on? Maybe it's making it a priority to attend church every week. Sure, there will be occasions like vacation or illness that prevent us from being here on a particular week. But are you there the majority of the time? Or do you find yourself making excuses, viewing church as less important, less valuable than what God shows us in his word that it is? Maybe your step is baptism, something God asks each believer to do, to publicly profess their faith and commitment to follow him. Are you getting together outside Saturday nights? Are you texting somebody? Are you trying to check on life? Are you making sure they're okay? Is there a small group you're connected into, adult or couples? Are you getting together with other believers? Not just Westbridge believers. God's church is every believer in the world. This is not an exclusive club. There are Christians everywhere. God has many in my life. Are you getting together with those people? Are you sharpening iron with iron? Are you looking at the people God's placed in your life and doing life together? That's what fellowship is, the Bible tells us. Whenever these doors open, or whenever and wherever West Virginians gather, the Bible says that's fellowship. That's a time for you and I to come together in unity, to understand the life God designed and expects. And we do that by studying his word. To practice life skills, develop life skills, learn from others, give help and get help, encourage one another, and enjoy the life God gives. So as the worship team prepares to come forward in a few moments, spend some time considering what God's word reveals about who you and I are, how we were made. We were made for fellowship with other believers. Then ask yourself, what would God's church look like if I, not someone else, but me, what would God's church look like if I were actively pursuing fellowship with other believers? And how significant would that active fellowship with other believers be in helping me live a godly life? Then take that next step, whatever God places on your heart. For those who can, would you sing as we close? I just want to remind you before we close, if you are interested to learn more about Operation Christmas Child, the boxes are here. The materials are here. You can talk to Mr. Paul or Miss Sam after the service, and they'll give you more information. We'll keep announcing it as well. And lots going on at Westbridge. God has blessed us. So let's pray to close the night. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. I thank you for creating us to long for fellowship. And I thank you for providing the best fellowship that there could be with other believers, those who want the best for us at their own expense. Father, as we leave this place tonight, I ask you that you would keep us safe so that we can come back together again. May it be Tuesday for prayer, Wednesday for adult study group, Friday couples group, Saturday down at Alpha Fall Festival, or certainly Saturday night next week. Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for what you will do. Help us to continue to follow you in obedience. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. See you soon.